And let me sort of hop way ahead in the story here, and I want you to think about spatial orientation at a burial. What does it look like at a burial? All right. Well, the first thing that happens is that you lower the coffin and you fill in the grave, and everybody's facing the grave. And then the rabbi, the cantor, and whoever else is going to speak, they speak. So the intention is shifting from the grave over to whoever it is that's speaking. And then, at the end of the ceremony, what do? You turn away from the grave. You're sometimes even turning your back on the grave as you face the Holy Land of Israel and the Holy City of Jerusalem. And then what happens? Then you form two lines that are completely not centered on the grave at all, but now totally directed at the mourners. They are the ones that are being embraced by those two lines. All right? The grave is now all business. Now all focus is on the mourner. Right? And on the mourner's recovery. So understand, if we have in mind the clarity, what it was that the rabbis were trying to accomplish. It was on the one hand to overcome this death anxiety, and on the other hand to facilitate the positive relationship between the mourner and the people for whom he is mourning. And that's why it is so inappropriate for parents to drive their kids meshuggah with trying to tailor make a funeral. You know, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Okay, it's doing exactly the wrong thing. It's forcing the mourner into this conflict of, on the one hand, wanting to, quote, do the right thing by Judaism, and on the other hand, doing the right thing by, you know, when their parent says, bury me in a dress, you know, this is the, what are you supposed to say, no? And the answer is yes, you say no. Okay, or you at least let the rabbi say no for you. And what has happened, and it's been, to me, it is utterly bizarre, I have had congregants, all right, who had lost someone, and they simply refused to do a tara, the washing ceremony and the dressing ceremony before you do the tafrikin. And I said, well, if you don't do that, then I can't do the funeral. They said, okay, don't do the funeral. We'll find somebody else to do the funeral. And I'm saying to myself, why in the world would you do that? Why in the world would you give up the relationship that you have, you know, the ability of your rabbi to be there, like trying to do the eulogy and so forth, trying to lead the charge in trying to comfort you, because you don't want to do a tara? You know, it strikes me, as I said, I'm doing this lecture because I'm trying to respond to this thing that I really don't understand. I just don't understand where this comes from, that somebody would simply choose to challenge the system that's been put out there. And let me just, before I go into the details, let me just tell one story. When I was living in Sweden, there was no topic for which there was greater appreciation in the Swedish public than this topic. When I would describe this, when I would meet with doctors and nurses and social workers and so forth, they fell all over themselves. They thought it was the best thing since sliced white bread. You know, what a great system, how sensitive, how psychologically insightful and so forth. Yidden, you know, Swedes love it. Yidden, you know, go and explain it.